The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entrekin.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entrekin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Hope you guys had a great month or Wednesday of action on the diamond. Had some fun with that, fantasy baseball and regular baseball all around. And ready for a Thursday. We've got a small slate. It's like 5 day games, couple evening games. Nothing too crazy. A lot of traveling going on Thursday. So small slate Thursday. We'll get you ready for that, and we'll catch you up on Wednesday's news and notes. And there wasn't as much as there's been in recent days, which is kind of a relief. First bit of news here: the Atlanta Mets and New York Mets, the Atlanta Braves and New York Mets had their game on Wednesday postponed due to rain, and it will be made up on September 26th, though late in September for this one to get made up. Jackson Holliday, we talked about yesterday, was official. He made the big club. Holliday got called up on Wednesday to join the Baltimore Orioles. Tony Kemp was DFA'd to make room for Holliday on the roster. In 10 games at AAA, Holliday was hitting .333 with two home runs, 18 runs scored, 9 RBIs, and a stolen base. But in his debut, Holliday went 0 for 4 with an RBI and 2 strikeouts. Better days to come. Pretty confident in that. Chase Silseth of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim hit the IL with elbow inflammation. Good news is they're saying it's just inflammation, no structural damage based on the MRI. He'll be shut down for a while and eventually ramp up again. But for now, there's no timetable for Silseth's return. With Silseth going down, Carson Fulmer was recalled by the Los Angeles Angels. The Mets made a logistical move, moving Kodai Senga to the 60-day IL as he continues to work his way back from his massive injury. There's no setbacks, the Mets are saying. It's just standard procedure. Like, they didn't put him on the 60 initially in case he got ahead of time, but he's basically on time to return. So the earliest Senga can return to the Mets is May 27th, which was kind of in line with what we initially thought. Brandon Lau with the Tampa Bay Rays, he's injured again. Lau injured his oblique before Wednesday's game, and he'll undergo an MRI to determine the severity of the injury. Manager Kevin Cash said it did not look good for Lau, that Lau would likely miss some time. Expect the Rays to make a roster move over the next couple days. They don't play again until Friday at home against the San Francisco Giants. And at first glance, Curtis Meade, Amed Rosario, they should be the primary beneficiaries of Lau's injury. But you never know. The Rays may call up someone, as they always have a slew of talent in the minor leagues. Yoan Moncada, we mentioned it on yesterday's show, had the big injuries going to the IL, but much more clarity on that situation after Wednesday. Moncada had an MRI, and the news was not good. He's going to miss 3 to 6 months. That's a pretty big window with his left adductor strain. So I'm leaning towards the least, probably most of them. He's gone. That's a bummer. He's actually hitting the ball pretty well to start the season. Oscar Colas got called up on Wednesday to take his roster spot. With regular playing time, Colas could be a deeper league option for your fantasy teams. Good news out of Miami. Edward Cabrera threw 5 2/3 shutout innings with 9 strikeouts in his third rehab start. Cabrera threw 82 pitches, and barring something crazy taking place, Cabrera should join the Marlins rotation in his next time around, which will be the beginning of next week against the San Francisco Giants. We don't know whose roster spot he'll take. That's probably still time dependent, but you would imagine AJ Puck, Trevor Rogers, probably leaders in the clubhouse to lose their job, because even Max Meyer's throwing pretty well so far. So lots of moving pieces. Braxton Garrett's probably one rehab start behind Edward Cabrera. We'll know more as Braxton Garrett, I believe, has a start Thursday or Friday, and we'll have a better idea of his situation. So the Marlins could get Cabrera and Garrett back early next week. Johan Odon was called up by the Nats when Josiah Gray went on the IL on Tuesday. Adon made the start against the Giants. He's been sent back to AAA now. The Nats called up Drew Milas. He's a third catcher, extra bat on the bench for now. The Nats will need another starting pitcher eventually, so stay tuned for that move in a few days. Tyler J of the New York Mets relief pitcher is kind of a feel-good story with all the injuries we've had of late. Jay was a former first-round pick who's been battling injuries, and the Mets signed him last year from the Frontier League as an independent league, folks, not even affiliated with MLB. If Jay were to come into a game in the next day or two, he'd make his MLB debut just before turning 30 years old, which is crazy for a former first-round pick. So feel-good story for Tyler Jay. Hunter Harvey of the Washington Nationals, he left Tuesday night's game after a line drive hit him in the hand, his left hand, non-throwing hand, thank goodness. I was watching that game live as I was recording Bubba and the Bloom, and me and Bloomfield both were watching it, and we were like, whoa. After the game, Hunter Harvey said he could not feel his hand for 40 minutes. That was scary, but he had x-rays. X-rays were negative. Everything looked good. On Wednesday, Harvey said he was available to pitch if necessary. Thing is, the Nats lost 7-1, so Harvey could take the breather on that one. Expect Harvey back in action on Friday. Wade Miley of the Milwaukee Brewers was activated from the IL on Wednesday and made his debut in Great American Small Park. He threw four innings, allowing one earned run, striking out zero over those four innings. That's a good comeback, though, as the Brew crew needs some serious rotation help. And Miley's always been that kind of boring veteran that he'll have his blowups from time to time, but as a whole, when the season's done, his numbers are serviceable, quite serviceable. Kevin Hergett was sent to AAA to make room for Wade Miley on the active roster. Chris Murphy, a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, he's having Tommy John surgery on Wednesday. His season is over. Jefferson Caro, the Brewers' number three prospect and 33rd overall prospect, catcher, had shoulder surgery to repair a torn labrum, and Caro will miss the rest of the season. Recovery time is expected to last around 9 months for Mr. Caro. So hopefully 2025, we'll see what we can get from him. But you got William Contreras back there. What do you really need? And then the Arizona Diamondbacks, they signed Colton Wong to a minor league deal. He'll go to AAA Reno to get going, and he'll just add depth as the season goes on when the D-backs need some middle infield help. All right, some hitting highlights from a full day of action on Wednesday. Gavin Sheets, the White Sox with all their injuries, Gavin Sheets might not be a platoon player as much as an everyday player. Sheets went 3-for-5 with two doubles, a home run, two runs scored, five RBIs, and a stolen base. I bet you a Gavin Sheets combo meal wasn't on your bingo cards, folks. That's impressive. Sheets is hitting .333 on the season with two home runs, and we've always like enjoyed the platoon aspect of Sheets, but everyday aspect could be interesting. Edward Julian, I know fantasy managers were starting to get frustrated. I was getting messages about what to do with Julian. Well, maybe this is a sign of things to come. Julian went 3-for-4 on Wednesday, two home runs, three runs scored, and two RBIs. One of those home runs came versus a left-handed pitcher. He's been strictly platooned. He doesn't get to play usually versus lefties, so that was great to see. Julian still, after the three hits on Wednesday, is only hitting .188 on the season, but does have those three home runs. Jerks and Profar, he's doing it again. He's going to reel us right back in like he does every year. Then it gets interesting. But on Wednesday, Profar went 3-for-3 with a double, a home run, two runs scored, and three RBIs. So far on the season, Profar's hitting .333 with two homers and 10 RBIs. That'll do, especially in deep league formats. For more information on all the day's top hitters, make sure you check the Daily Batters Box article on pitcherlist.com. Some starting pitching highlights from Wednesday. Cody Bradford, man, he just keeps doing it. Nice matchup versus the A's, of course, but Bradford went 6 2/3 shutout innings, five hits, one walk. It's a sub-1 whip, seven strikeouts for Bradford. Bradford had 17 whiffs and a 36% CSW on 94 pitches. That's outstanding stuff from the lefty. On the season, through three starts, Bradford 19 1/3 innings pitched, 17 strikeouts with a 1.40 ERA. They're going to have some big, big decisions to make in Texas because Lorenzen's coming back next time around the rotation. Everyone assumed it would be Cody Bradford leaving. Might be somebody different, so stay tuned on that one. The Boston Red Sox starting pitchers continue to get it done. This time it was Cutter Crawford, five shutout innings of two hits, four walks, and six strikeouts against the Orioles. Crawford had 14 whiffs and a 31% CSW, which is outstanding, on 86 pitches. So far through three starts, Crawford 15 2/3 innings, 18 strikeouts, and a 0.57 ERA. That'll do, Donkey. And then Yusei Kikuchi got to face the just horrific Seattle offense. It will turn it around. The Mariners offense will turn it around, but it's bad right now and a whole lot of strikeouts. And Kikuchi made sure to get his share of those. He went six innings, allowed one run, three hits, two walks, and nine strikeouts in those six innings for Kikuchi. Kikuchi forced 13 whiffs in those six innings, a 33% CSW on 89 pitches. Kikuchi's picking up where he left off last season through his starts, 15 and two-thirds innings, 20 strikeouts, and a 2.30 ERA. Make sure you all tune into the Plus Pitch Podcast with Nick Pollock. Read his daily SP Roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. All right, some relief pitching highlights from Wednesday. Steven Okert, yes, you can Google him or look him up on Fangraphs, picked up his first save of the year for the Twins. Griffin Jacks threw a clean eighth, striking out the side. It was the 4-5-6 hitters for the Dodgers. So high leverage for Jacks, got the job done to hand it off to Okert. That's how the Twins bullpen's been. That's how it will be. That's how it's always been under Baldelli. So just be prepared for that. Jacks is the guy to roster. Just know there will be many outings where he pitches the eighth for this exact reason. Jeff Hoffman of the Philadelphia Phillies picked up his first save of the year. He's been getting more looks in the back end of the bullpen. Blew a save the other night, so good to see him get another shot. It looks like the Hoffman-Alvarado show for now in Philadelphia. Kevin Ginkel picked up his second save of the year for the D-backs. It's back-to-back nights for Ginkel. Pete Fairbanks picked up his second save of the year for the Rays. Back-to-back for Fairbanks. These are good to see. Tanner Scott picked up his first save of the year. It's been a rough start to the year for Tanner Scott. Really, really good to see there for Tanner Scott to get that save. Maybe they'll give him some more shots. And then Craig Kimbrell of the Baltimore Orioles picked up his second save of the season. For all things relief pitching, make sure you check out the Reliever Ranks article on pitcherlist.com. All right, before we preview Thursday's action on the diamond, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Exco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
And welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast brought to you by PitchList.com. I'm your host, Brian Inchkin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Mentioned earlier, we got 5 day games, 2 evening games. So your main DFS slate starts at 12:20 p.m. Eastern time, early day action. If you're looking for some pitchers, you got Pablo Lopez versus the Tigers. You got Tarik Skubal versus the Twins, both in a great spot there. Alan Wynans versus the Mets could be interesting for Atlantic and Spencer Strider spots. And other than that, John Gray versus the Oakland Athletics. Gray's been rough to start the year, but good spot there, obviously, versus Oaktown. If you're looking to stack things up here, Texas versus J.P. Sears. Sears isn't bad, though, so just buyer beware. I prefer Milwaukee versus Nick Martinez in Great American Small Park. Oakland could be sneaky versus John Gray. Just going to throw that one out there. And then you got Atlanta versus Quintana. So those are a couple ways you can look on the DFS front. If you're looking at things I'm looking forward to on Thursday, I want to see how Alan Wynans does taking Spencer Strider's spot. Does he pitch well enough to keep that role? Does Dylan Dodd get it? Does Bryce Elder get it? Does AJ Smith-Shaver get it? There's so many options there for Atlanta. Wynans getting the first shot. See how that goes. I mentioned day game action. We got Pablo Lopez. We got Tarik Skubal at 1:10 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. Get your popcorn ready. Brady Singer looking to see if he can keep things going. He got a tough matchup versus Houston. It's kind of a prove-it outing for Brady Singer after two good starts to the season. Jared Jones taking the bump on Thursday. Really looking forward to that. He's been outstanding to start the season. A little evening action. I mentioned only a couple games on the evening. We get Grayson Rodriguez versus Garrett Whitlock. That should be a fun one in Fenway Park. Jackson Holliday second game. We got this great Boston rotation right now. Grayson Rodriguez is pitching good. Little AL East action to finish off your Thursday night. That'll do it, folks. That'll finish off another episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Again, make sure you go to pitcherlist.com. Go check out PL Pro. You won't regret it. Gets you in the awesome Discord, talking all things baseball, fantasy baseball, and more. Plus, it gets you the new tools, the new content, and all kinds of goodies coming down the line at pitcherlist.com. So go check it out, PL Pro. You won't regret it. That'll do it, folks. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap Thursday and get you ready for Friday. But for now, this was your First Pitch Podcast, Thursday, April 11th edition. Hope you all have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at PitcherList. And help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.